Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Today we gather at the hour Jesus hanged on the cross and cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as we together confront the murder of George Floyd and the unrelenting violence against people of color in our country, realize that some gathered for these prayers grieve his death from the cross itself. From the cross itself, fearing for their own lives, fearing for the lives of those they love. Thereby, they do not approach Calvary as mere passers-by, but they come to Golgotha as Mary, as the innocent Jesus, pursued by the threat of unjust authorities. George Floyd's death, then, is not the death of a stranger, but the death of a son, a brother, a father. Felt viscerally, in ways and at depths I cannot fathom. And as we together confront the murder of George Floyd and the unrelenting violence against people of color in our country, realize that some gathered for these prayers grieve his death from the shadow of the cross, from the long shadow of the cross, realizing the power behind that torture is ours, and that the knee upon this innocent man's neck bears the weight of our privilege, my privilege. Thereby we approach Calvary smelling of sour wine. And when we finally declare, surely this man was God's son, none can be sure whether we speak with mockery or with fidelity. A long time ago now, a mother, still grieving the death of her infant child years before I met her, put a finger in my chest and commanded the care she needed and that she expected for those who suffered similarly. You show up wearing beige, she told me, her eyes flashing. You knock before you go in. You approach the one who weeps with your sincerity and with all the love in your blood. You look her right in the eyes. Don't look away from what you see. You say, I am so sorry, and you mean it. You don't make excuses for God. You don't claim to understand. You don't presume that you share a grief that you can't even begin to know. Offer prayer if you have to do that, but then set your casserole on her counter and leave. With marchers passing on Boylston at this very hour, to all who are on the cross in these days and yet would still open their door to me, I come humbly and I say to you, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And I pray that this service and the life that we share in this beloved community will honor your hurt, your grief, your anger, to which we covenant, to which I covenant. We will bear witness as long as you need, until when you prefer a space that is your own, then we will make room for that too. In this afternoon's Gospel from Matthew, Jesus excoriates the powerful leaders of the temple. And when he points to their hypocrisies, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, he says, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift even a finger to move of them. All of us, we nod as we think of those whose transparent hypocrisies we spite. And yet, Jesus presses harder, slices deeper into their deceitfulness until he cuts into our complicities too. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, Jesus says. For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. See, Jesus challenges the legion ways that we feign righteousness as a conscious or unconscious strategy to guard our sinfulness. Jesus challenges those superficial, ultimately inconsequential shows of fidelity that hide our neglect of the weightier matters, that hide and disguise our neglect of God's highest hopes for the world. In this moment, that challenge of Jesus calls us to account. Calls to account the anti-racism rituals of liberal white America that serve only to protect our entitlements to the cultural, economic, and legal systems that benefit us. Jesus' challenge calls to account our self-satisfying hand-wringing. Our anti-racism by association that allows us to focus our restless energy on what will make us feel better. What will return this unrest to normal that serves our interests and keeps black and brown Americans under our thumbs and under our knees if need be. In this moment, justice asks every white American, what are you ready to change to end racism in this nation? Be clear, Jesus and justice do not ask what those wealthier than you must give up. Jesus and justice do not ask what Minnesotans need change. Jesus and justice does not ask those who vote differently than you what they must come to understand. No, Jesus and justice ask, what are you ready to change? What are you ready to change to end racism in this country? And that transformation must begin with repentance from our insatiable tendency to claim grief that is not ours and to use the suffering of others as a means to meet our own need to feel holier than our neighbors. That transformation must continue with the realization that the comfort due in this moment of horror is not ours. Not ours to seek, not ours to explain, not ours to compel, not ours to excuse, not ours to give. And ultimately, the transformation of this moment must lead us to nothing less than the very same cross of the crucified Jesus. So as we, together, confront the murder of George Floyd and the unrelenting violence against people of color in our country, we gather in our difference and in our brokenness. We gather in our grief and our anger. We gather in our despair and our hope. We come together as the people of God. And what light we may find in this darkness, we find in this complicated, unresolved, still reconciling holy communion of souls that we comprise together as the body of Christ in the world. Yesterday, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, spoke a word for all of us who would gather in this way and in this spirit. In his Washington Post editorial, Bishop Curry proposes, "Our nation's heart breaks right now because we have strayed from the path of love. Because love does not look like one man's knee on another man's neck, crushing the God-given life out of him. This is callous disregard for life, the life of another human being, shown in the willingness to snuff it out brutally as the unarmed victim pleads for mercy. Love does not look like the harm caused by some police and some protesters in our cities. For violence against any person is violence against a child of God, a child of God created in God's image. And that ultimately is a violence against God, and that is blasphemy, the denial of the God whose love is the root of genuine justice and true human dignity and equality." Our frustration at all of this must not lead to fatalism or to despair, for we are not condemned to live this way forever. Instead, if we choose, we can follow a different path, that path of love. And love looks like making the long-term commitment to racial healing, justice, and truth-telling, knowing that without intentional, ongoing intervention on the part of every person of goodwill, America will cling to its original racist ways of being. Love looks like all of us, people of every race and religion and national origin and political affiliation, standing up and saying, "Enough! We can do better than this. We can be better than this. Now is the time for a national renewal of the ideals of human equality, liberty, and justice for all. Now is the time to commit to cherishing and respecting all lives and to honoring the dignity and infinite worth of every child of God. Now is the time for all of us to show in our words, our actions, and our lives what love really looks like." That we would follow this path of love, I pray. Holy and merciful God, we know that you sent your Christ to reconcile all people to you and to one another. So too we know your anger at our iniquities, and we remember your prophet's call for us to labor with you for a world free of tyranny and exploitation, a world free of bigotry and brutality, a world free of schism and of sin. We pray that you would strengthen us to come confront every injustice, and transforming our rage into righteousness, that all we do would witness the unconquerable power of your love. We pray for justice, mercy, and love in the name of your Jesus. Amen.